Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Yes.
Happy Valentine's,
Happy Valentine's Day from Fat Joe and the Terror Squad. Lean back. I'm Justin Spears. That is Dominic Bachaco. Thank you for tuning in to the Wildcast podcast on the Wildcaster app and Apple Podcasts. Oh, man. Short week this week, Dom.
Short week. Big week.
Huge.
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 That's what I like about these rivalry weeks is when they mean a lot, it's the only thing you got to focus on all week, so it's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for us, we don't have to worry about a late 8:15 start on Saturday. It's nice. Just get one out of the way on Wednesday.
Speaking of focused on, what are you doing for Valentine's Day?
This. Welcome to my podcast. Valentine's Day.
What's the most, craziest thing you've done on Valentine's Day?
You know, you asked me that earlier today, and I didn't have an answer. I started thinking about it. I think my first girlfriend and I might be entirely off on this, but if I remember correctly, I think we started dating on Valentine's Day. Don't ask me details, because I don't have them.
That's cute.
But maybe. I might be completely off on that, too. It was on an important day for some reason. It was some holiday. It might have not been. I think it was St. Patrick's Day, now that I'm saying it, so. Scratch that. I'm not a big Valentine's Day guy.
Arizona Sweet 16. That was that board
game. There you go.
Oh, man.
Arizona basketball. So full circle.
It all comes back around. I haven't done anything too crazy on Valentine's Day. The typical, I'm going to get my girlfriend a big, huge teddy bear.
Those big ones in Safeway?
On
top shelf in Safeway?
All right. Costco. They're like $100 a bear, but it's like the size of Shaq. Yeah. I like those a lot. But no, nothing too crazy on Valentine's Day. But anyways, let's go ahead and get started into some Arizona ASU basketball. We'll have Bruce Pasco on later. He'll be providing the good stuff as always. But Dom, there was a bar in Tempe, mm-hmm. College Town Bar and Grill. They're on Mill Avenue in Tempe, I believe. And they are banning anybody that is wearing red, cardinal red, navy blue, and white, or anything Arizona related. Man,
it's wrong.
It's so wrong.
What if there's Stanford fans there? What if they're wearing cardinal red? Is it is it Arizona?
Shout
out to Mickey.
Shout out to our sports editor,
good
Mickey.
Mickey. Doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's fun. It's funny. I get a kick out of it. I like seeing bars go all out for this rivalry.
This makes me livid. And I know Arizona fans. I know Arizona fans. When this bar does something like this, uh-huh. You know there's going to be 20 Arizona fans that are just lingering right outside the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make their presence known, especially if Arizona ends up winning tomorrow. So, look, a lot of Arizona fans. The bar is really asking for it. When we release a story, the quick story that's on Tucson.com right mm-hmm. now about this bar banning Arizona fans, just completely shunning them.
It's all we've heard about all day.
All of our mentions on the Wildcaster have been like, look at this bar over here, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Arizona fans, if you're looking for an easy target in Tempe, they're calling you.
But I feel for them because Illegal Pete's, mm-hmm. that's located on University Boulevard on the University of Arizona campus, they are a Broncos bar. And look, when the Broncos played the Chargers the one time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to wear my Antoine Kaysen jersey. I'm going to be respectful. I'm not here to stir the pot. I'm just here to watch some good football and share it with the opposing team. They did not let me upstairs. They were like, yeah, you can eat down here where there's no activity going on. But upstairs, all the rowdy football fans, nah, you can't join them. Mm-hmm. So I feel for them because I was that person that was left out at one point in time. So anyways, Dom, Arizona ASU, huge game this week. Both teams are ranked, the only ranked teams in the Pac-12. Before we kind of give our prediction, before we get Bruce Pascoe on, the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee had their projections of the Field of 68, mm-hmm. Primarily the top 16 seeds.
Right.
They had Arizona as a 15 seed, or not a 15 seed, but the 15th best team in the tournament,
right,
which would make them a fourth seed in the Western region. Dom, I wanted your thoughts on this because I thought it was a pretty good gauge of where teams stand before March Madness happens, because there's always a lot of uncertainty, like, where does this team rank? Where does this team rank?
Right.
What do you think about that?
I thought it was pretty spot on. Before the USC game last Saturday, we were saying that if Arizona had lost that, they probably wouldn't have been in those top 16 seeds, four from each region. So I think they played to keep themselves there at least. I mean, I think it's pretty spot on. Arizona hasn't really beat anyone. You look at their best wins this year, you're going to go Texas A&M and Arizona State, I guess you would go. Texas A&M is... Every time they build up some hype or get ranked again, they lose. Who they just lose to? Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. the other night. So Texas A&M isn't a very impressive win. But you look at Arizona State, it would be nice to beat them again for Arizona. That would go a long way. But that's what I look at. I look at quality wins, and right now Arizona doesn't really have a lot of them. They don't necessarily have the worst losses outside of, obviously, SMU and who is their loss into Bahamas?
NC State?
SMU and NC State are their two worst losses. So mm-hmm. I think they're right where they should be. I'm surprised how many Pac-12 teams they have.
I was just about to bring that up. Four Pac-12 teams. Arizona, Arizona State, UCLA, mm-hmm. and Washington. Mm-hmm. I think Washington was like a number 11 seed, mm-hmm. or something like that. UCLA was a 6 seed.
Right.
So there's only four Pac-12 teams. Bill Walton said that 9 teams should be in the Pac-12 or in the NCAA tournament,
which is just wrong. We won't even get into that.
The conference of champions.
they're not getting 9 teams in. I think the 4 right now, I said this earlier this week, Arizona, ASU, UCLA, and UW are the 4 they should have in. as Bill Walton brings us to tears. I mean, those 4 that are in, you can make a case for USC, but
what's crazy though is look how talented USC right. is compared to Washington, and Washington's the team that's in.
Well, I'm just looking at that. I mean, the UCLA, you agree, should be in, right? No argument there?
Yeah.
USC, they're 48th in RPI, which you can get at us on Twitter with your gripes about how inaccurate their RPI is, because I know people have their fits about that. But they're 48th in RPI, 2-5 against top 50, and their best win was against Middle Tennessee State. Mm. So when you're talking about wins in that quadrant one, which, by the way, we have a question about later, we will get to explain what quadrant one wins mean. But when you have when your best win is against Middle Tennessee State, it's going to be hard to climb up people's brackets, especially when you lose a game like Arizona. The opportunity was there for USC to come out and make a statement, and they couldn't do it. So that's USC. Washington's 45th in RPI. They're 4-2 against top 50, and they have wins over Arizona, Arizona State, and Kansas. Their losses aren't anything to brag about, but those 3 wins alone, I would put them in over USC. So I have no problem with that. Even if USC passes the eye test, or if they could win more games, make a deeper run in the tournament, I think right now UW has the better resume.
And according to the selection committee, mm-hmm. Kansas is a number 2 seed. So
right.
To their eyes, getting a win over Kansas seems
UW looks pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty damn good.
Exactly. Well, another thing I want to get into here is Raleigh Alkins. I know we've talked about him a lot. We brought him up as an X factor earlier last week before he had a good game against USC. One thing I find interesting is that Alkins, and I think Miller may have alluded to it, they're all starting to talk about Ristich post-game against USC. They're all starting to talk about they're having fun. And Raleigh had this to say after beating USC last week.
It's a family. It's not just a basketball team. That's important when you're trying to win the championship. I think when we're playing like that and when we have that chemistry, everyone's having fun. Because, you know, we play basketball to have fun. We don't play to, like, just to play basketball. And when we're having fun out there, it shows, and I think we could beat anyone in the country.
Well, you play basketball to have fun. No, you play basketball, you play one, basketball to have fun, and two, you play basketball to get that check.
Well, you're to get that check. You're right.
In the NBA. Yeah. Not now. Not throwing any shade. Not throwing any shade right now.
You play it to get to the NBA, absolutely. And more importantly, well, to get you to the NBA to win. And I think, obviously, they're having more fun when they're winning. So you see Raleigh Alkins saying that, alluding to having fun as they seem to have against USC. You've seen Deuce talk about it, Miller talking about it. The word championship has gotten thrown around a couple times in the press conference on Monday and in postgame against USC on Saturday. That's something that's came up that hasn't really been thrown around a lot this year. They're starting to kind of shift their focus there. So if you think they're having any lapses in focus or if their effort's not all there, they certainly have the same goal now as they did at the beginning of the year, and that's to win a championship.
And they're absolutely right. When you're out there having fun, you go the extra mile to make certain plays like that. That's why you see dudes like Emmanuel Aycott diving on the floor, getting loose balls. Raleigh Alkins kind of had a bit more pep to his step. But championship right now, Arizona's far from it. And they definitely got some ways to go before they could even, I guess, talk about that. But it's also, if you're an Arizona fan, it's kind of refreshing to hear that because – I don't ever recall hearing last year's team talking about championships. You always heard like, oh, we're just taking it one game at a time. We're a talented group.
Right. And I think, I mean, maybe it's because, maybe this then, maybe last year they didn't talk about it because they were in that position. You know, they were a heavy favorite going into the tournament, especially with the bracket that they drew, Final Four being in Phoenix. The stars aligned for Arizona last year. So maybe that's why they didn't need to talk about it. Again, I'm sure it came up. I'm sure it was mentioned. Obviously, they were asked about it from start to finish, from November to March. So it was a topic of discussion. But maybe they're bringing it up now because they know it was on the radar at the beginning of the year, but no one's really talking about it anymore. So maybe – I doubt this is why they're talking about it now. But maybe they're just trying to get it back into the conversation. One more thing about Raleigh Alkins. It's interesting looking at his numbers from last year compared to this year. People forget this year, he started on a tear, had 26 points in his first full game against New Mexico on 9 of 11 shooting. That was his first full game of action.
That was a career high, too.
Yeah, exactly. So he had 26 points there, had 20 against a UConn squad in McHale, which is no cakewalk of a game. Well, I guess it was 15-point win, one of their biggest of the year. 22 against Utah. So he's had a few big games this year. That win over USC on Saturday was not his first. You look at his numbers last year. They're pretty much identical to this year. Same exact field goal percentage at 46.3%. Three point shooting, 37 last year, 39 this year. And he's averaging three more points this season. So rebounds the same, assists near the same. Turnovers a little bit up this year. But his numbers overall a little bit better. And that game against USC, as Bruce wrote about earlier this week, it's no anomaly.
The X Factor.
Raleigh Alkins. If he's not the X Factor, as Miller and Raleigh Alkins have both denied this week, if he's not the X Factor, again, this is coming from Bruce, there's at least very clear evidence that he's a big, integral piece to this team, and they might not go as far as he goes. I think that weight falls on DeAndre Ayton and Alonzo Trier, but when Raleigh Alkins is on, this Arizona team's better.
Mm-hmm. Shall we go to social media mailbag real quick?
Yes, absolutely. We had one question from Martin Rosales, fellow night editor here at the Arizona Daily Star. He had a question about the NCAA tournament when they released their bracket the other night. They talked a lot about quadrant one, quote-unquote quadrant one victories. He wants to know what is that quadrant one win, and he guesses that he'll understand why they're so important once we shed some light. Quadrant one win, I believe it's either...
It's RPI.
It is. It's all RPI. You know, I had this up ready to go.
It's
if you're a home win, a home game is a quadrant one win if it's RPI 1 to 30. If you're on a neutral site, it's 1 to 50. And if it's on the road, it's 1 to 75. If the opponent is in those, if falls in those thresholds, that is a quadrant one win. That's what that means. So it's pretty much based off RPI. It's to get a gauge of, okay, not only are you 4-2 against top 50 teams, but where are those wins coming? Are they at home, neutral sites, on the road? It's pretty much just to gauge, give a better understanding about what these wins, where these wins are coming from.
Yeah.
That means you're either beating a lot of top 30 RPI teams at home, or beating your wins on the road are quality.
Mm-hmm.
So for when the NCAA tournament committee looks at that, not only are they looking at RPI, they're looking at, okay, how do we value those wins? Not only are you 15th in RPI, but you have these quality wins that we're looking for.
And I always wonder if the selection committee, when they look at it, is it they go throughout the whole schedule and say, okay, this was their quadrant one win for this year, or was it for that week? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, let's just say, for the sake of argument, I'm trying to think of a good win for Arizona that was good at the time, mm-hmm. but doesn't look good now. And does the committee put that in effect? Well, like, well, they beat number 3 ASU, but mm-hmm. ASU is unranked now. So
Texas
are
A&M.
Are we gonna or for instance Texas A&M? That's the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
The big mystery of the NCAA selection committee is a bunch of guys locked in a room.
No one's ever going to be happy. If Arizona's a 4 seed, people are going to say they should be higher, they should be lower. Right now, they're a 4 seed in the West. With that, let's go to Bruce Pascoe, who is not on the road, but getting ready to head up to Tempe tomorrow. Bruce.
Hello, my name is Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
All right, we're here with Bruce Pascoe. Bruce is constantly writing, always trying to make deadlines, so we're going to go ahead and patch him in. Bruce, happy Valentine's Day, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
You do anything?
I didn't even think about that.
Doing anything special for your loved one?
I don't know. Probably maybe later, but certainly not now. Not even thinking about it.
Bruce is like me.
It's just another day in the life of a boss for Bruce Pascoe.
Exactly.
All right, Bruce.
No, not in the middle of Arizona basketball season.
No, not
today, Valentine's
not today.
Day.
Well, you know, we're not in that respect. We're not a whole lot different than the players and the coaches. It's like it's 7 days a week, really. That's the way it goes. It's fun, but it's a wild ride until it ends sometime in March or April.
Absolutely. All right, Bruce. Arizona State. It doesn't seem like this game has as much hype as the first matchup because it was the Pac-12 opener. Both teams were highly ranked. ASU was number 3 in the country, and if they would have won, they would have been the number 1 team in the country. They were the only team left in college basketball that was undefeated. Arizona was number 17 at the time, I believe. But Bruce, in terms of games up there in Tempe, is this probably the most hype or the most talked about matchup that you've seen in recent years?
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, probably recently, yeah. Although they did lose a couple games at the end of Herb Sendek's era there, and those weren't, you know, hyped up games, but they became big games to remember because Arizona lost, and then there was a game years before that where they also lost and sort of got bounced out of the tournament. I believe that was 11-12 when they were NIT bound, and so there's, you know, either way, if it's a hype game or if it's not a hype game, especially the games at Wells Fargo, you know, anything can happen, and a lot of times they end up being pretty memorable. Yeah, for sure.
Bruce, you know, as we kind of get back into the swing of this basketball rivalry, now that we've had a few down years or one-sided domination from Arizona, looking back at some of these games, you know, you go through the James Harden years, you go through when Bobby Hurley first got tossed. What are some of your favorite moments in this rivalry up in Tempe?
Yeah, and almost all of them are up there. I think Bobby Hurley getting thrown out of that game his first year a couple years ago. I think that was the first time he played him, and then I don't even remember what the circumstances are, but I just remember him going crazy and throwing up his arms. As he walked out, he was throwing out his arms as if to get the crowd going. I mean, it was really,
he was really out there.
You know, like trying to rile them up, like you know, basically.
We gotta have a photo of that.
Fed up with it, and he wanted them to go after the officiate. Whatever, and then and then a year ago we had a little clip of him in the locker room that got out where he I don't think he meant it directly at U of A, but he basically said, you know, if if that, you know, he was talking about defending their home court, and he basically was saying if anybody wants to win here, they better go to effing Tucson. Meaning, I think he was meaning, you know, if Cal or Stanford comes here on a 2-game road trip, they're not going to get a win in Tempe, but maybe down in Tucson. That's what he mean, but I think a lot of people took that kind of the wrong way, the whole effing Tucson thing. I don't think people, that rubbed people anyway. So there was that. And then I think the funnest thing is, you know, Hurley and Sean Miller are two of the most demonstrative, super intense coaches. I mean, you could spend the whole game just watching those two guys, and it's entertainment. I mean, who cares about the basketball? They're both everything on their sleeves, and you know, they're just all out there, and they want to win more than anybody, and that's really the passion. It's just really quite amazing to watch how that goes.
So,
and certainly also, I mean, certainly you could go way back further in this rivalry. There's been some great games. I think Arizona won. They won the Pac-12 championship, I think, back in 2005, if I remember right, when they had I think Salim Stoudemire hit some key shots.
I was just gonna bring that up.
You could go even back farther than that. I think Jason Terry won a big game almost at the buzzer forever ago, and there's just been a lot of good memories. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've been in Tempe for they call it the Bank, Wells Fargo Arena. Mm-hmm. That's what they call it, the Bank.
I guess.
You've been up there many times. Can you recall maybe the most hated Arizona player? Because a lot of U of A fans have reached out to us and said, you know, oh, well, we didn't like James Harden, or we didn't like Eddie House. I remember growing up watching Arizona basketball, one of the most disliked guys was Derek Glasser. There's been a lot of ASU players that U of A fans don't like, but what is on the other side of the coin? What is an Arizona player that ASU fans could not stand?
I think certainly in recent times, or in the Miller era, you'd have to say Kevin Parham, because I think it was his freshman year.
No easy buckets.
No easy buckets thing. He went down and, you know, fouled some guy. I don't remember what the circumstance was, a hard foul. You know, a lot of people thought it was intentional. It wasn't. I don't think it was ruled that way. And then Parham tweeted after the game something about, hey, no easy buckets, we're not giving him. And here's a guy from the Bronx who has no stake in an Arizona rivalry, but he really bought into it. And then, you know, as years went on, Kevin kind of fed off of that. He was okay with that. He didn't try to back down on that. And I think that made him more popular at Arizona and less popular at ASU. So it was really kind of fun to watch. And you know, maybe going back further, you could say Stoudemire, because he hit some big shots, maybe some guys like that, but I don't know that anybody personally really got under their skin as much as maybe Parham and certainly the coaches. And you know, way back, you know, Lute Olson was very unpopular with their fans, and I think there was one game where he basically gestured at the student section and to the scoreboard. Like, hey, look at the scoreboard. You know, I don't remember the circumstance, but I know he did that.
Yeah.
I think it was towards the end of his era, but
savage.
You know, but as far as, you know, villains from ASU's perspective, those, you know, they might be right up there.
Lute Olson living out the savage life before it was savage life.
Before there were hashtags even and all that. Yeah.
Bruce, what's your favorite sign you've ever seen? Among the rivalries. Yeah, up in Tempe.
Oh man, I can't. You know, I couldn't remember off the top of my head. I mean, I think the last few years you kind of look at that curtain maybe, and you know, that's kind of been more of the focus. Like, especially, you know, in the second half when they mm-hmm. set up, you kind of peek down there before somebody goes to the line and say, "Well, who's behind the curtain?" or whatever. And you know, it was really creative there for a while.
Michael Phelps.
You know.
Yeah.
But as far as that individual signed, I don't know. It's hard. It's actually kind of hard at ASU, the way we're seated there, to see a lot of them from the student section, because we're actually kind of next to the student section that bends around. So we're kind of looking out like they are. So you don't really look at them so much. So, you know, there may have been some good ones that I didn't even see over the years.
So, Bruce, I think at the start of Pac-12 play, when these two teams met, then we thought the second time through this game now that we probably were presuming it would be a lot more, it would bear a lot more weight than it is tomorrow now, or on Thursday, I should say. Arizona, the clear favorite to win the Pac-12 title in the regular season, now have a 2-game advantage over UCLA, USC. ASU now 7-6 in the conference. That's three games behind Arizona. What do you anticipate this game? I mean, ASU obviously have a very good chance at beating Arizona at Wells Fargo Arena. So, I mean, what is this game all about, if not, since it's not a race for the Pac-12 title?
Yeah, that's a great point, great question, because, you know, I think you have to look at, like, Arizona, you know, they want to make sure they win the conference. Certainly, they could probably even share it, even if they lost a couple more games. But they got to go to Oregon next week, and there's no guarantee of a sweep there for sure. So, you know, if they happen to lose this and lose one in Oregon, then it gets a little bit more interesting. So certainly they want to take care of business. They're also, you know, they were determined to be a number four seed as of now last weekend by the committee. So if they want to improve on that, you know, this is their best chance to do it. It's their last quadrant one type of win. And, you know, Oregon might turn into that if the Ducks finish well, because their RPI is just shy of that criteria right now. And then, of course, they may see, you know, USC or ASU in the Pac-12 tournament, and that could help too. But this is a big opportunity for ASU to help their seeding and momentum. And you know, for ASU, it's bigger in the sense that, you know, I think they need to make sure they get into the first four spots of the Pac-12 tournament so they can avoid that extra game. And they're also playing for a seed as well. And, you know, they could be in that. You know, nobody wants to be in that 8-9 bucket where you have to play the one in the second game, even if you win. So, you know, they need to finish out strongly. And I think, you know, more than anything for them, it's about momentum. I mean, they were really reeling there for a while, and they seemed to have their confidence or mojo back or whatever. And, you know, now they've got Arizona at home. I mean, what better opportunity to really show that they're back than to win this game?
All right, we're going to go ahead and one more question, Bruce. Kind of like a since it's Valentine's Day, we're gonna kind of make it like the most eligible bachelor. All right, who is the most likely player to win Pac-12 Player of the Week out of anybody from both teams? And I'm gonna go ahead and name two from each team.
Pac-12 Player of the Week.
Yes. For next week. Well, I guess they can't really win Pac-12 Player of the Week if it's only for one. Only one game, realistically.
Well, they can, but they, you know, it's typically they have to be outstanding. Like if somebody sets a record for threes, or you know,
okay,
then they win it. And I tell you what, you know, Aiden could do that based on the fact that he had 23-19, you know, at McHale, and he seems to thrive in these pressure, you know, adverse situations, so it wouldn't surprise me if he has another monster game.
Well, DeAndre Ayton is not human, so we'll go ahead and exclude DeAndre Ayton. We'll exclude him. Okay, Raleigh Alkins and Alonzo Trier on Arizona side, and then Trey Holder and Shannon Evans on the other side. Out of any of those four players, who's most likely to win Pac-12 Player of the Week? Most eligible bachelor.
Well, you're asking me, or...
Yeah. No, I am asking you.
Yeah, I'd probably guess Trey Holder simply because he's more of a focal point for them. I mean, as much as Trier is a focal point for Arizona, you've always got DeAndre Ayton there, and you've got Raleigh Alkins as the third option. Trey Holder is their number one, and he's super good at not only shooting and setting up guys, but just getting to the line. And he can get, you know, he can pick up 12, 13. I think he got 15 points at the line here at McHale. That's just shooting free throws and picking up fouls. So, you know, if you combine that, he's just really dangerous in a number of ways. And I think, you know, Arizona has not been good. As Sean Miller pointed out on Monday, that's Arizona's two biggest weaknesses are guarding the three and not fouling too much on defense. And this is a guy who excels at both of those things. So, you know, unless Arizona can really manage that better, he's a guy I think who has the most potential to go off in this game. But that said, Alonzo Trier has been terrific against ASU. I just came over a note. I think he averages like 21 a game over his whole career against ASU. And he had 23 on December 30th. So, and he's always liable, as we've seen this year, to go off to shoot 10 of 12 and score, you know, 30 points or something. That could happen too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, again, that is Arizona Daily Star basketball beat writer Bruce Pasco. Bruce, try to enjoy the rest of your Valentine's Day and don't work too much, all right?
Yeah, you guys too. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good one, Bruce.
Take care.
All right. See ya.
All right.
Well,
thank you, Bruce, as always.
As always.
Not from Tempe, a road game this week, but Bruce kind of has, you know, a relatively calm week compared to most road trips Arizona has to do. So,
well, usually road trips, we're getting Bruce to call in at like 1 o'clock in the morning to do a podcast when he's just chilling in his hotel
watching him, well, or at a game in Oregon State waiting for a game to end.
Wow. Anyways, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Again, we don't have a podcast coming up for the weekend since there's only one game this week, but a pretty big game, Dom. ASU, Arizona.
Huge game.
Up in Tempe. Huge at game. The bank.
Rivalry renewed. If nothing else, rivalry renewed. I mean, it's not a battle for the Pac-12 title. Arizona can still probably win it, even if they lose at Wells Fargo on Thursday. So it's really a battle of two teams that are renewing a rivalry.
I'm excited.
Absolutely.
I'm excited. All right. Anyways, again, don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are on Instagram now. The Wildcaster, follow us. We provide photos, videos, everything you need. And again, don't forget to download that Wildcaster app.
Everything.
It's free. And, you know, if you ever want to, you know, just chill in your car, listen to the podcast, you're at the gym, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, too. That's where you can get this podcast at. Anyways, for Dominic, I'm Justin. We'll see you next time.